The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to go some different directions on today's show. Saturday night, I was fortunate enough to head over to Brock Purdy's, the Purdy family, had a little get-together after Mr. Irrelevant, who's Mr. Relevant, according to the 49ers. A little bit with Brock in the celebration, which is now blowing up on social media and becoming like a national thing. I've got people calling me about it and all of that. Mike Golic Jr. will be with us on the show today. Mike is now starting his new deal over at DraftKings. So Mike Golic Jr. on the draft and all things around the National Football League. I'm going to talk to Mike, too, about if he were still playing at Notre Dame, transfer portal and everything around that, the pain of players, name, image, likeness. We'll get into it with Mike Golic Jr. And then Michael Fabiano, Fabs, is with us, the Hall of Famer from SI.com, all things around the NFL draft. And who are the winners, losers for your fantasy football? He's already been in a draft. Like yesterday, he already had a fantasy football draft. It's crazy. It's bananas. It's like 48 hours later. So I'm going to run a bunch of these rookies by, the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and all that, and who the sleepers are, because the appetite for fantasy is insatiable. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. I was reading Jeff Mishi over on LinkedIn. They've crossed over 400,000 members here in Arizona. You should be next. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. I will be at the Suns game tonight. It's just one thing after the next in the busiest sports market in America that nobody knows about. I'm fine with this. It's game one. I will get there early. I'll go chop it up with Al McCoy. He's 89 doing round two of the playoffs. I'll bump over to the other broadcasters and see what's going on and then dive on in there tonight at the arena. It should be a lot of fun. Dallas brings a different amount of pressure, I think, on the Suns. Luka Doncic gets after it, both ends of the floor. There will be the conversation about if the Suns still screwed up, not taking Luka versus taking DeAndre Ayton. That will be out there for the ages. I know this going in. You know, I was watching Golden State and Memphis yesterday, and while I think the Suns are better than Memphis, right now I don't think they're better than Golden State. I don't think the Suns are better than Golden State right now if they're in a seven-game series. This small lineup that Steve Kerr has been tinkering around with and has put out on the floor, they look like a completely different team. It's a big win for them. And without Draymond Green, Draymond Green was thrown out. And in my mind, in my heart, I just want to see Draymond Green and Jay Crowder go after each other in a seven-game series. I mean, you talk about two badasses just going after each other. That would be great theater. That would be competition at the highest level. And look, you have to have villains in sports. You do. Fans show up and they want to boo. They want to yell. They want to get after somebody on the other team. Can you imagine Draymond Green walking in a seven-game series? Like, Dallas is a nice team. Jason Kidd is doing a nice job in his first season. Jalen Brunson is a nice player. I keep using the word nice because I don't think that they're going to give the Suns that much trouble. I really don't. You know, when Chris Paul is talking openly yesterday at shoot-around about, you know, Jalen Brunson is this and Jalen Brunson is that and just lavishing the praise, Chris Paul's just going to show up and rip his heart out. That's what he does. Whenever I hear athletes, especially in basketball, say, well, this guy, he's so good, and this guy, he's so that, and then it's just like lulling him to sleep, and then they show up and they just run right over him. That's what I'm expecting out of Chris Paul tonight. That's what I'm expecting. So Suns, Dallas, that'll be tonight. We will be there for that. You know, the draft, I can't get too high or too low off the draft if I'm talking about the Arizona Cardinals, because the facts are this, and I'm not wrong on this. The Cardinals very seldom hit on draft picks, very seldom. You can't miss on Kyler Murray, okay? You missed on Josh Rosen, the 10th overall pick in the NFL draft. You flat whiffed, and you moved on. It happens. Is Isaiah Simmons a sure thing and is a first-round pick? It's my space to sit here and just kind of look around the landscape and not have pom-poms in my hand and say everything is all great. It's not what I do. I'm not on their payroll. Everything's not great here in Arizona. Behind the scenes, things aren't great here in Arizona, in my opinion. Still haven't replaced Chandler Jones. If I'm looking at the draft objectively, you know, you take a tight end. Was that the biggest need? Was the best player available? It sounds like best player available. Okay. You're still sitting here with some gaping holes. If James Conner gets hurt, okay, and running back shelf life's not long. He had a great season a year ago, but he also had Chase Edmonds to take some of the workload off of him. So, you know, when I'm going through what the Cardinals did, I can't sit here and say, well, you know, they went out and they got Hollywood Brown, and that is going to turn everything around for Kyler Murray. He's a hell of a player. I'm not going to dispute that. First round pick? We'll see. We'll see. And he handled his business the right way in Baltimore. I talked to some friends back there about it, and they said, great player, got out of the situation. It's kind of like DeAndre Hopkins, right? Great player, wasn't happy in Houston, finds his way to Arizona. I'm kind of getting tired of disgruntled players wanting to find a safe landing spot for their careers. Show up, shut up, and play. Not that hard. To that end, so Saturday night, I went over to the Purdy's. I've done a lot on Brock Purdy and Chubba Purdy and the family. I've had people that have said to me, man, are you doing a documentary on them? And my response is, well, I could. There's enough there on a lot of interesting side stories. But when I see somebody, and I'm just going to speak about Brock, when I see somebody that's as humble and hungry and handles his business the right way on and off the field, and I go back to the National Football Foundation, first time I met him, and how hungry and humble he was, and then how his journey took him from Boise to Iowa State to Central Florida to Alabama to Texas A&M flying out here. And then these years later, how he's probably not going to get drafted as the day progresses on Saturday. It's a local kid. The Purdy's to me are like the Mannings. They are the first family when it comes to quarterbacks. I'm not saying he's Peyton Manning. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that here in the Valley, when we talk about quarterbacks and families, that is who I think of. And people have said, well, you've gotten really close. Well, here's the thing on this. When you see good people and you see a close-knit circle and you don't see anybody just trying to get through and get on social and all the nonsense and noise, they just show up and play. Yeah, I'm all in on that because I don't get enough of that in this day and age. You know, I want ballers. I want ballers off the field too, people that handle their business the right way. And so when I've seen this family and this player in particular go through his journey, and here it is on Saturday, and I'm not pinging him like, hey man, how's it going? Hey man, it's just, you know, do your thing. So I get a phone call from the father, Sean Purdy. He says, you can come on over. And it was after the draft had happened. I'd heard all about Mr. Irrelevant and thinking, well, that's pretty cool actually, because San Francisco is a tremendous landing spot for Brock. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be there long term. That's just me. Trey Lance didn't prove much last year. Got to go out and play. Got to go out and compete. These daddy ballers that just want it to be, oh, well, I got a clear path to get my kids some playing time. No, this isn't Pop Warner. This isn't high school. This is not college. It's the NFL. Not for long if you can't play. And so to be around Kyle Shanahan, what a tremendous starting spot for someone coming into the league. And he's probably going to move around the league. That's how it works in the NFL. Very seldom do you have an Aaron Rodgers. Very seldom. Start, finish with the same team. Tom Brady moved on. I can go on and on and on and on. Ben Roethlisberger, start, finish, same team. Very seldom does that happen. So the chances are pretty good he's going to bounce. And it may be there comes a point where somebody says, hand in your stuff, and that's the last time. That's how it works. So I think just seeing his grind and his grit, I really appreciate in a day and age where I don't see much of that. So to that end, I went over to the house. This was the scene. We're going to put this in the TV show this week. This is some of the behind the scenes. I wasn't there for the pick and the celebration, but I did talk to Brock about it afterwards. Check it out.
To make the final selection of the 2022 NFL draft.
With Brock Purdy, he's now known as, do you even like the Mr. Irrelevant thing? I mean, let's just start there.
Please welcome Melanie Samantha Fitch of Irrelevant Week.
I hope it's you,
it's
it's part of my story now, you know, in terms of being picked last in the draft. But I look at it like, man, I got drafted. You know, I'm a part of the NFL now on a team.
Here's your jersey, Brock.
Man, it's an opportunity for me, and this is all I could ever ask for. It's what I dreamed of.
The San Francisco 49ers select... Yeah!
My brother came in last night, you know, before day three, and honestly just was calm, you know, throughout the whole process, as I was. My brother was, you know, the guy that, you know, throughout this day was just my twin, in a sense. You know, I would look over and he would have poise and just tell me, you know, it's gonna work out how it needs to. And when my name got called at the end, he was probably the most hype out of everybody, yeah. You know, just excited, hugging me more than anybody, you know, and telling me, man, you're gonna make the most of it. Like, this is part of your story, this is how it's supposed to be, and this is what, you know, this is how God intended it to be. So
the phone call from the 49ers, what was that like? Did you know it was going to be San Francisco?
As the second to last pick was called, it's on TV, I get a phone call from San Francisco, and it's, you know, it's John Lynch, and he tells me, you know, you're not irrelevant to us. As a matter of fact, you are relevant to us, and so we want to draft you. So,
keeping the irrelevant tradition going, I'm here with my daughter, Alex, third generation of irrelevant.
I actually told my family that it was just another free agency call when I walked out to the living room, and they were like, "No way!" And I'm like, "Yes." And then my name got called, and they still had their phones out just in case, and everyone screamed in the room. You know, their baby boy, you know, for my parents' name got called on the TV. It was a special moment. I've been dreaming of it my whole life, and yeah, it was awesome.
What have you learned about Mr. Irrelevant? You get some swag, right?
I knew the term Mr. Irrelevant, you know, being the last pick in the draft, but I didn't know there was a, you know, a week-long process of, you know, dedication to the award, really. Everything's going to go down with it, but I'm going to just take it in, so yeah. It'll be a good time.
Fun stuff over at the Purdy's. I do appreciate them saying, hey, come on over here and check all that out and being part of their family. And they had, I don't know, 20, 30 people. I pulled up and there's people walking down the streets both ways, bringing over food and carrying water over. And it's like a family celebration, a little cul-de-sac celebration in Queen Creek, Arizona. It's pretty cool. I like that a lot. Speaking of college football, the Pac-12 is meeting here in Scottsdale starting today. Bring this up because this story will not get a whole lot of run. I will do plenty on this on the website, as will John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, who's part of our group. George Klofkoff, the new president, CEO of the Pac-12, they're going through a laundry list of changes. They are behind the scenes working on what to do with NIL, what to do with paying players, what to do with getting rid of divisions. It may be the Pac-12 South, the Pac-12 North go away. That is something that is being considered. New television contract. A lot of business stuff that I think is interesting for the college football, just football fan in general. That is going on this week in Scottsdale, and you will find that up on the website. They're actually in town today getting started. The Diamondbacks are at Miami tonight, and I found them interesting all weekend long in St. Louis. They're competitive. Their starting pitching's been pretty good. Zach Gallen throws tonight down in Miami. You know, I don't care if they win 72 games. I'm seeing progress from the bottom of me out last year. And they're fighting. They're competitive. They're gritty. They're young. They're really young. I look at their lineup. Man, oh, man, there's times where 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are guys that should be a AA or AAA, and I'm fine with that. I'm good. I think fans would like to see that. All right, Mike Golic Jr. is next. He now is with DraftKings after leaving ESPN. We'll talk about the draft over the weekend, what he saw, the Cardinals and their moves, and name, image, likeness, and Arizona State losing players right and left under Herm Edwards. That's all straight ahead with Mike Golic Jr. and then Michael Fabiano on the fantasy football front. On a Monday, I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, Mike Golic Jr. is with us for a few minutes. He is with DraftKings. He was at ESPN along with his father, Mike, who you heard here through the years in the Valley before he transitioned out. The Golic name is synonymous with Arizona, and I appreciate you jumping on board and chopping it up. I just want to get on board with DraftKings, the life after, so to speak, the next steps, and chop it up.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me. Excited to be here. And as you mentioned, excited to be part of the DraftKings family now. The new podcast, Gojo, launching the first week of May here. It's been exciting. Excuse me. Been very exciting. I can hardly contain myself. I'm getting emotional about it. But no, it really is an exciting new opportunity. Looking forward to it. I mean, honestly, it was just nice to be back in front of a microphone again. Nice to be back in front of a microphone now, especially coming off the NFL draft weekend, which we know the NFL offseason really never is off. But an event like this and being able to, you know, react and talk about this with people has been a blast.
Yeah, you didn't miss your step, right? It's like riding a bike behind a microphone.
Exactly. Slowly but surely. I said, knocking a few cobwebs off here and there. It's more the lead up, you know, having to put together the rundown again and start to do all that stuff. I gotten fat happy in the last 11 weeks. Good to go now, though. Definitely ready and raring to go. And there really is nothing that will get those training wheels back off quite like draft weekend.
Michael Golic Jr. with us for a couple of minutes. DraftKings is where he is now. You can find his content there. He is on their platforms. All right. What was your big takeaway from the weekend?
Man, the first round can look awfully coherent when we're not concerned with overreaching on quarterbacks. Like we were as a public, as, you know, draft prognosticators, however you want to put it, all pretty off in our evaluation of that class. And so I think what it allowed in the draft cycle was for us to learn a lot more about the position players in the draft, some of the offensive and defensive linemen. And that was certainly a big part of it. But I think between that and what it allowed, and then just seeing, you know, for me, the Cincinnati Bearcats have three players from their secondary drafted in the first three rounds, seeing that Georgia defense deliver five players in the first round, it was cool to watch other positions where the rest of football gets made have their day in the sun when you only had Kenny Pickett going 20th overall in the first round as the first round quarterback to the Steelers.
Yeah, Mike, I think going from one door just 10 feet to the left is the coolest part of the Kenny Pickett story, one. And then, you know, you look at what the Cardinals did. They've had such little success with drafting players. So trading for Hollywood Brown out here in Arizona, I'm actually good with it. What about you?
Yeah, I think, listen, right now we know so much in Arizona is dictated by the organization's relationship with Kyler Murray and kind of making sure he's in a good space heading into this season, because we know we've seen a lot of great performance from him. The Cardinals sputtering down the stretch of the last couple of seasons, Cliff Kingsbury kind of getting called to the mat for that as of late. And so you get a guy in Hollywood Brown that he knows from his days at Oklahoma, a guy who I think started to put behind some of those drops that we saw early in last season that have been a part of his story. And, you know, a veteran presence. We talk so much about the depth of wide receiver in the last couple of drafts, but I think for a lot of places, especially, you know, for Arizona, in a division like the NFC West, that, yeah, you know, you've got the defending Super Bowl champs in there, but everyone else right now maybe going through a bit of a transition. Are the Niners going to finally go to Trey Lance this year? The Seahawks moving on from Russell Wilson, maybe they feel like adding a veteran, going to something in that spot, especially on offense, where they need to see that uptick through the entirety of the season. Maybe this is the way they go about addressing it with a veteran rather than a rookie that they're going to have to bring along over the course of the year.
Mike Golic Jr. can find his content at DraftKings. He's back at it. DraftKings is where he is. That's where he's landed. That's where his content is. Let me switch gears with you over to the college side. What are you making out of NIL? And I bring it to the Arizona State side. They've lost over a dozen players out here. Guys are just like, I'm not playing for Herm. I'm not playing for ASU. If you had NIL and transfer portal back in your day at Notre Dame, would you have stuck it out? Would you have gotten a check?
I hope I would have gotten some checks in some form, right? And I think I've heard a lot of people talk about this. The different forms of NIL that we're seeing right now, there's certainly what's shown up in the form of collectives who have used that as part of the thing that people see as enticement bordering on pay for play. And then you've got, you know, players securing marketing deals, stuff like that. And so I think it's a great thing in general. I've really enjoyed seeing players finally be able to get a piece of the pie in all this. Right. I understand the crowd out there at ASU might not be feeling the same way right now, but I think all of this is going to force every part of college football to be better. And this isn't an indictment on Herm Edwards. I love Herm. He was a great teammate at ESPN. I don't know enough about what's going on specifically inside his building to speak to any of that, but I trust Herm Edwards, the man, on a lot of this stuff. But I'll speak in general for college football. It is going to force coaches, teams, organizations, whatever you want to call them, to make sure that the promises they make in recruiting are promises kept once players get on campus, right? Too often we've seen that not be the case. And so now players have recourse. They've got the agency and the ability to go out there and test the transfer portal, to test that NIL market, all of these things that give them the increased mobility that they've watched their coaches have for years. And so while it feels a little bit chaotic right now because coaches haven't had to deal with this before in this way, schools haven't had to really reckon with all of this change at once like this before. Ultimately, I think we're going to settle and get used to this the way we do with everything else. It's kind of like an iPhone update. Feels bad at first, and then you just wonder how life was ever like it without it before. And then everyone will move on. But I like the place that it's coming from because we were long overdue for players to start getting in a little more of the action and to start having a little bit more say in what their 4 years of eligibility look like. A coach can coach for as long as the market dictates that he is capable of doing so. Players got 4 years to either make as much money as they can now in college or create enough value for themselves to be ready for the NFL after that 4 year eligibility window's up.
When you have a teammate that decides to go in the portal in this day and age, I don't know if you can take it back to your time playing. What would it have caused within the locker room, whether it's a transfer portal kid or the guy next door to you in his locker getting paid?
And you listen, I think I always come from this. I was an average to slightly above average college football player. I was a three-star offensive lineman. I knew I wasn't one of the stars on that team. I played with guys like Zach Martin, who's a future Hall of Famer, Tyler Eifert, who was a first-round draft pick, Manti Te'o, who was the runner-up for the Heisman playing linebacker. I knew we were all being treated fairly, but we weren't all being treated the same. I had the wherewithal to understand that. So if you just put a dollar amount to that, well, hell, we're just preparing guys for the NFL where, guess what? If you're an undrafted free agent offensive lineman, you're not going to make as much as the quarterback that's behind you who's probably on his second contract or on his rookie first round deal. So I think that's preparing you for reality. The transfer portal thing, listen, we had guys transfer when I was in college, and I think the same thing applies then and now, which is I loved my teammates first and foremost and wanted what was best for them. And if what was best for them wasn't with us and we weren't giving them that or they weren't happy for whatever reason, I want them to go where they're happy. Again, we all only have 4 to 5 years to make this happen. And so I want to see everyone get the most out of that possible. And so that was always my approach is, you know, we want people who want to be here. And if that's not for you, that's fine. I'm not going to hold it against you. And we'll go and work with who we've got.
It seems pretty simple, Mike, but there's all these conversations about, you know, it's like brain surgery. No, it's really not. You want your teammate to be the best. And, you know, before I get you out of here, we're talking with Mike Golic Jr. He's with DraftKings now. If, again, I had told you 5 years ago you would be part of DraftKings, or 2 years ago you'd be part of DraftKings, the explosion of this, and we have a partnership with DraftKings, it's tremendous, but the explosion of this, just speak to that.
Yeah, it's been really incredible. And I think, one, it's great because for DraftKings, you know, 2 years ago, I would have never known that content was going to be something that they were interested in. But not only are they interested in it, they're serious about it. They've put the resources behind it. They've already brought over a really impressive lineup of people whose, you know, voices and names a lot of people respect, myself included. And so to be valued and to be courted by a place that is serious about it, that does have the great brand reputation that DraftKings does, is awesome. And then even on a bigger scale, just to see this for the industry in general, right? You've got sports gambling companies coming into this now. You've got tech companies like we've seen with Amazon and Apple getting into the rights business. And it's great because it's more jobs. You know, it's more opportunities for young people coming out. It's more opportunities for people at various points in their career to find a place where their voices can be a part of covering these games and events that we all love. And I think that's always a net positive for everybody.
Go through your podcast real quick.
Yeah, the podcast is Gojo. It's a daily podcast, releases Monday through Friday. Myself and my producer, Brandon Newman, is awesome, has been, you know, a part of projects at FS1, has worked at NBC, Barstool, was a page with the David Letterman show back in the day coming out of his time in college. But we were also teammates at Notre Dame together. He was a defensive tackle on the team. So we went from butting heads to now getting on the microphone together and getting to do this. I've known Brandon since I was 17 years old. And so having that person and that trust to walk into this new venture with is a great partnership and one I'm really excited about. And we're just excited to go out here and make something that hopefully people will enjoy listening to.
Mike Golic Jr., you can find him over at DraftKings. We appreciate his time. Stay safe.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I love having Fabs with us because he is the Hall of Famer. Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst with Sports Illustrated and Sirius XM Fantasy Derp. I love having Michael on right after the draft because he has so much stuff. Like, we should just do off-season things. If you're up for it, we should chop it up because
we can.
If you're willing to, let's do it.
There is always stuff to talk about, no matter what time of the year it is. Right now we've got a whole bunch of rookie stuff to talk about, obviously after the draft. And then next week you got the schedule release coming out and that'll have fantasy implications to a degree. And then honestly, like once you get into, you know, late May, early June, people are talking about preparing for their drafts.
Yep.
So I remember when I first got into the industry, when I was with CBS and I was doing basketball, baseball, and football, because once one season ended, another one began, but the seasons that ended for football, you know, there wasn't as much interest. Now the interest in the NFL, now that was over 20 years ago. Now the interest in the NFL is just bananas. It's 365. So,
yeah. And that's why you're the Hall of Famer, because you can go through all those things. And
I try my best, my friend.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Michael Fabiano with us, the Hall of Famer. Let's go through the Cardinals first and foremost. The trade of the first round pick for Hollywood Brown, taking a tight end, has been met with mixed reviews over here. What do you say on this?
Boy, I'm surprised that Hollywood Brown went for what he went for. I mean, he first round pick? A.J. Brown went for a first round pick. So, hey, the Cardinals needed help at wide receiver. Right. They lost Christian Kirk to the big contract in Jacksonville. And Kyler and Hollywood have a relationship, I mean, dating back to college. So it made all the sense in the world. And does it help Hollywood's value? No, it hurts it big time, because he goes from being the one in Baltimore to being the two, I would guess, in Arizona. Right. Behind Nuke. But you've also got Zach Ertz. You've got A.J. Green. You've got Rondell Moore. This really hurts Rondell Moore's value a lot. And on the Baltimore side, it helps big time with Rashad Bateman. Now he's going to end up being like a sleeper breakout candidate in fantasy this upcoming season. So, but it helps Kyler, of course, because Kyler gets, you know, one of his guys back from his college days. And it's another weapon in the offense, which of course is going to be like, you know, a big thing for that offense, which again, lost Christian Kirk. Another winner in this thing is James Conner. Yeah, like I know the Cardinals did draft a running back, but it's not a running back who's going to put a huge dent into Connor's touches like, you know, Chase Edmonds did last season. So, you know, you're looking at a situation there where does Connor go back to being the guy who, you know, dominated touches in his first year in Pittsburgh? Now, I'm not sure if that's going to be ultimately the case, but I don't know that Ingram is going to end up seeing nearly the volume that Chase Edmonds saw. And they still have, you know, Benjamin on the depth chart there too. So Connor's value is going up as well. In terms of the tight end, and they did draft who many believe was the best tight end in the class, in Trey McBride. Now he's more of a dynasty league guy. I mean, typically tight ends are not going to put up big numbers as a rookie. You know, Kyle Pitts was kind of like an outlier. So he's not going to get picked in most seasonal drafts, but Ertz is turning, I think, 32 during the course of the season. And so maybe he's got, I think he signed a 3-year deal, but they can get out of it after 2 years. So maybe McBride is going to be that pass catching tight end of the future there in Arizona.
I think what they've done out here is a bit obviously to pacify Kyler. And I don't know if that's the smartest right. way of doing business. I really don't, Michael. You know, just because you play together in college doesn't mean it's all going to work out and be peaches and puppies and puffy clouds here in Arizona. But, you know, it's an improvement, and that'll be interesting. Let me just bounce around and throw some. I think what Atlanta did at wide receiver, I think what Kansas City did at wide receiver, I think what New Orleans did at wide receiver, I sit here and say, I got to look at those three guys late, but I got to look at them. How about you?
So we'll start off with Atlanta, and I think Drake London's probably going to end up being the number one rookie wide receiver selected across the board in seasonal and in dynasty. What else do they have? Right. I mean, right. They have Auden Tate.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, all the media's like, yes, they don't have much. So London ends up in a great spot. Now, how Marcus Mariota is going to be able to utilize him and help him put up those numbers, you know, time will tell. Because Mariota is going to be the guy going into next season. There's no question about that. That remains to be seen. But Drake London, I think, is going to be drafted probably as a wide receiver 4. But I think he could have like low wide receiver 2 value as long as Calvin Ridley is out for the season, which we know that he is. And then moving forward, who knows if Ridley's going to play another down in Atlanta or in the NFL ever.
Right.
Right. Right? So, I mean, I think that's certainly something that you got to look at. And so, nice wide receiver 4 pick with upside. Chris Olave, he'll come in and be the favorite to be the number 2 ahead of Marcus Callaway and, of course, behind Michael Thomas, a couple of Ohio State Buckeyes. And, you know, Jameis Winston is not Drew Brees, but we've seen Jameis support 2 really good wide receivers from a fantasy perspective in Tampa Bay. Remember, with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, of course. I'm not saying that's going to happen in New Orleans. They have Alvin Kamara in the mix as well. But Olave is going to be worth a late round pick somewhere in that wide receiver 4-ish range. Although Drake London has a lot more short term upside because the target share is going to be there for him. I think it will be there for Olave, just not to the extent that we'll see with Drake, because again, Atlanta's just drafted a guy who's ultimately their number one wide receiver, the number one option in the passing game.
Kansas City, you know, with Tyreek no longer being there, I like what they did.
Right. Well, so Sky Moore, and everyone's going to go gaga over this kid because he's catching passes from Patrick Mahomes. And that's great, right? I mean, he had, you know, almost 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns in his final year at Western Michigan. And certainly with Tyreek Hill out of the mix, there are opportunities there in Kansas City. But remember, they added Juju. They added Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They still have Mecole Hardman in the mix there. So let's see how Sky Moore performs in offseason camps, training camp. Can he gain a rapport with Mahomes? Because that's going to be important. And, you know, in this day and age in the preseason, you know, Mahomes probably not going to play a whole heck of a lot, if any at all. So we got to see how that connection goes. We got to see how the connection goes with any of the wide receivers. They're all new to Mahomes, right? Because right, Tyreek's gone. Right. So Sky Moore is going to be worth a late round flyer pick in almost all seasonal drafts. And in Dynasty, he's going to be one of the more attractive wide receivers in the league. Remember, Juju, I mean, you know, he's got a short-term contract. So Sky Moore, you know, best case scenario could end up being Patrick Mahomes' guy here for the next several years. So in Dynasty, he is going to be a player that a lot of folks are going to want some shares of.
He is the Hall of Famer. He is Michael Fabiano, of course, with SI.com and SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt. 3 names, I'll get you out of here. Let's just start with running backs. We saw Rashad White here, and he was terrific. I think Tampa Bay got a great pick there. Breece Hall, we'll see. I liked him at Iowa State, watched him a lot because of the Brock Purdy connection, being a local kid. And then we'll get over to Kenny Pickett. But let's just go through the two running backs I threw at you.
Well, first off, I was kind of bummed that Breece Hall went to the Jets. I was hoping he'd go to, like, maybe the Texans or Atlanta, because clear path to workload there, right? In New York, Michael Carter's a good back. And I think that's going to be a committee, and that stinks from a fantasy perspective. Now, I think Breece Hall is going to lead that committee. He'll be the starter. He'll be the early down guy. He'll be the guy who runs between the tackles, and hopefully we'll get the goal line opportunities. And that maybe pushes him into, you know, RB2 territory from a fantasy perspective. But you remember when, like, Zeke came out to the Cowboys, he was the guy. Right. When Saquon came out to the Giants, like, he was the guy. But I don't know that Breece Hall is going to be the guy, because Michael Carter, while I kind of saw this coming because he's 5'7", like, he's smaller than I am, and I'm not big.
That's
obviously, he's in way better shape than I am, of course. But, you know, he's kind of small, and I just didn't see him being a featured back in the NFL. So I'm not surprised that it happened, and it's great. All this is good for Zach Wilson, who's got, you know, a couple of new weapons in the offense, and his value is rising. Although, you know, you got to temper expectations with second year quarterback. But Breece Hall is a guy I'd probably be drafting as a flex starter. Some people may get a little too excited and draft him as an RB2, and ultimately maybe he'll be able to, you know, succeed in a committee. But the downside is that it's going to be a committee. Like, Michael Carter is going to get touches in this offense. So I love the talent for Breece Hall. I just don't really care for the landing spot. Let's put it that way. Rashad White, 6'2", 210, big guy who, in a best case scenario, could be the fantasy handcuff for Fournette. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, he's going to get drafted everywhere, right? I mean, Fournette, he's great when he plays. And I'm not saying he hasn't, you know, been a guy who's been super prone to injuries. He hasn't, but, you know, he gets nicked up from time to time. He missed some time last year. So, you know, Rashad White could end up having some value if, in a best case scenario, if he can jump, you know, Gio, who's more of a pass catching option, and Keyshawn Vaughn on the depth chart. So that's going to be good for him. And long term, right? I mean, he could end up being the Buccaneers starting running back in the future after a couple of years with Fournette. And then for Pickett, you know, a lot of folks out there said that he was the most NFL ready quarterback. I still feel like Mitchell Trubisky will open the season as the starter. But if Trubisky stinks, would they go with Pickett? I think they probably would. And I also think Tomlin's going to give him an opportunity to start in week one. He'll let him compete. You know, I don't think it's going to be a situation like in San Francisco where you're like, all right, Trey Lance, we're going to let Garoppolo play this year. They don't have like a Garoppolo there. They have Mason Rudolph and Trubisky, right? So Pickett will have an opportunity to potentially play week one. I don't know if that ultimately is going to happen, but if it does, he's going to be worth a look into QB leagues, super flex leagues, rookie quarterbacks, and Pickett can run a little bit too. Like, he can do some things with his legs. So that's important for him. Yeah, he's not going to get picked in most seasonal drafts. I was in a draft yesterday on SiriusXM. Now it's you know, it's like the first draft after the NFL draft, right, to kind of see where players fall. And I mean, Deshaun Watson didn't go until really late. Derek Carr didn't go until really late. Like, you have to keep that in mind. And it was a 12-team league in some of these drafts. So like, when you're talking about Kenny Pickett, you're probably looking at more 2QB super flex leagues, and traditional leagues probably not going to get drafted, but yeah, he certainly has upside because he's the future of that franchise in Pittsburgh.
He is the Hall of Famer. He does fantasy drafts in May, which is fine by me. I love that. Michael Fabiano, you can hear him too on SiriusXM. As always, my friend, stay safe. Thanks.
You too.
And we're back with more after this timeout.